I'm with Shailaja Chandra, a very well-known retired IAS officer who has worked in the health ministry for decades in health education, as well has handled several crises like the plague in Surat in the early 90s and 1994. Since then, malaria outbreaks, dengue outbreaks. Ma'am, welcome to The Print. So you are a columnist at The Print, so perhaps we're being partial to her, but what best but to come to you to ask you how India handles such big crises of such magnitude. We are in the middle of the coronavirus outbreak in India. It's been a week exactly since the Prime Minister ordered or announced a national lockdown. But explain to us, in the middle of the chaos, we've seen all these migrants fleeing Delhi, but in the middle of this chaos, how do the districts sort of ramp up, or what happens?
You know, I have seen it over the years. There has always been a backbone of the administrative system and the public health system. Now, I'm not talking about science and technology and vaccines and ventilators and all those things. I'm talking about management.
Yes.
What happens is you have 728 districts in the country. In them are embedded about 650,000 villages. Mm-hmm. Now, every district, these 728, they fall into 30 states. And they are all having a common administration in so far as three things go. One is they all have a district magistrate.
Right.
They all have a chief medical and health officer. And they all have a system which reports to the district magistrate anyhow. Hmm. Indirectly, he doesn't sit and boss them, but he certainly is their boss. He's the head of the civil administration. At most of times, you may say India is, you know, chaotic, it's disorganized and things. But whenever there is a cyclone, a flood, an earthquake, Bhuj, Latur, the cyclone in Orissa, or you have something like you've got to go into the community, say, for HIV/AIDS.
Right.
People said that India would never contain it. Mm. Or, for instance, polio, that we'll never overcome it. We did. It was a complete shock to the whole world.
Yeah.
The reason is because this structure, which is at the back, is empowered to use, as in elections, everybody in the government set up to work for a cause. It has to be a specific thing. Here, the National Disaster Management Act 2005 has kicked into place.
So that in this coronavirus,
and that reinforces this authority. It existed, but this gives the district magistrate powers. He always had it
because health is a state subject.
It is a state subject,
and therefore the center needs to intervene in. So how does the center do that?
You see, central government does not have under the constitution any role in public health management.
Sure. Yeah.
But first, it is a convention for years that whatever in an epidemic situation, whatever the central government says by way of technical advice is followed without question. Mm. There is no politicization, there is no argument, it is accepted. Number two, you have a system where the public health hierarchy reports to the chief medical officer, who then has to report to the director general of health services of the state, who reports to the health secretary, and who reports to the union government. Union government is represented by the union health secretary and the other top people, union health secretary for health research and people like that. Now, when that is done, there's an integrated disease management program, IDSP. So that surveillance program, the hotspots start going up. The minute anything is reported, immediately a flag will go up. Mm. So you know in the whole country, where are these flags going up? And then either the district gets to know, or media gets to know, or quite possibly the center gets to know.
So in this circle that you just described between the union health secretary or the union minister and down to the state level, so for example, in the ongoing coronavirus epidemic, what would have happened? How would it have kicked in?
It would have kicked in first and foremost by somebody taking a meeting. I was not part of all this, so I'm only conjecturing, but I'm sure I'm not wrong. Public health people would have said this is going to be a disaster.
Right.
They would have given facts, figures, trajectories, and forecasts depending on other
because
countries.
Because it's a virus and nobody the hell knows what you're really battling.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, it's not like something, there's a plague, then you know that there is...
No. Yeah. You don't know. And you don't know where it's going to go, when it's going to go, to whom it's going to go. So with this background, alarm bells would have rung. Once that has happened, they would have had to take a call very early. What do you do? And what is the bare minimum? And does the protection of the citizens come before the economy and all kinds of people and their jobs and things?
Because that is also a big concern.
It's a big concern. It's always a concern. These are things which are on the periphery. Frankly, public health is not a big priority. You know, we talk about it, but it's never given this kind of a resounding support. Now, this would have come into place with orders. What shall we do next? Should we have a lockout? Should we have a, you know, restriction on people meeting? Should we be able to now get our districts mobilized? And video conferencing would definitely have started.
So even before the lockdown, all these conversations would have been taking place?
Yes, they were going on. In fact, my conversations with district magistrates and with health secretaries, which I did on my own, nobody asked me to, just out of interest. If you write, then you must know what you're saying. And fortunately, having been in the IAS very, very much, much older now than ever before, but certainly people take my calls and they shared with me. And the thing that I found remarkable was it was not a pat story. Somebody gave you an input here in Jharkhand. Somebody gave an input in Odisha. Somebody gave an input in Chhattisgarh. And you could see, A, that they all were attending video conferences.
Right.
It was happening very often.
Between who and who? Between the district?
Between, say, the district and the state, and the state and the center.
So the district magistrates were all attending video conferences?
No, they do it all on WhatsApp. Yes, there's a WhatsApp group and they do it between the districts which matter. You don't do it for the whole state. It's only where hotspots come up. Bilaspur. Bilaspur was in the news because a very well-placed doctor got COVID. All his staff in the hospital got it. And that
Bhilwara, you're talking
Bhilwara. Sorry. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah. It is Bhilwara. Yeah. Now, in Bhilwara, I talked to the district magistrate. You know, I was amazed. I thought he'd hedge. He immediately said, you know, I can tell you exactly, we have combed every household in every village. I said, I wasn't very sure that he could have done that. And he says, we have done it. We have the names, the suspects, the families, they've been quarantined. Three different teams are overseeing that they stick to their houses. Community has been told. Swabs are taken at the PHC, meaning an ambulance takes the patient or patients or would-be patients to the PHC, primary health center. The swabs are taken. Those are carried to a designated laboratory. Meanwhile, the patient goes back and the whole community is also told this is a quarantined household, which is kept under surveillance, including by the police.
So Bhilwara could be a model for the
it
rest
is.
Of the country.
It is. Now, the number of cases of the suspects, which was about 2,000 in urban areas alone, I'm not talking about rural, has come down to about, I think, less than 800.
Right.
And it has certainly been given full marks by everybody.
So this fragile health system that we keep talking about in India, which I'm sure it is, and it could be overrun because of our large population. You're saying it's we are still able to manage these enormous crises?
This kind of a crisis, yes, we can. What I'm trying to say is we are not the best equipped for clinical work. If you want to replicate an Apollo or an AIMS or something down at the district level, in Bhilwara, they have their beds. The district magistrate gave me lists of this dharamshala, this lodging house, this boarding house, this hotel, beds taken over, 50 beds, 30 beds, 20 beds, list by list. I have it with me. And so, I mean, nobody would, you know, pull fast ones when you are giving all this.
So now, every state would do this?
Wherever hotspots have come, certainly they would be having a backup.
So, for example, in Delhi, you know, we're sitting in Delhi, the Nizamuddin Basti congregation, the Tablighi Jamaat. Now, that... But nobody knew that was a hotspot, right? So there could be instances where you don't know.
You don't know. And the minute you get to know, the first thing is to swoop down. NCDC helped in Agra.
Remember the National Center for Disease Control.
Right. It's like the CDC of US. They go to the place. They actually go physically. They help to map. How can it be, you know, contained within that community? Household mapping is done. After that, they are able to say, now this is the protocol you will follow. And then they keep in touch, and the keeping in touch is totally, it's rapid, it's electronic, no more files are moving, it's all happening in a way which is unbelievable. It is happening just in a kind of a digitally efficient system.
Today.
You are today. If it was normal 12 months of the year, I don't give them all this. I do not. disorganized, slow, apathetic, not the whole country. Sure. There are places where it works efficiently no matter what. There are places which are really, really things we don't want to talk about. Mm. But when this happens, and I talked to the health secretary of, say, Odisha. So when I asked him, he says, you know, we took action from January, long before all this started, because we had heard about it. And we are so geared to outbreaks and also cyclones. We face them all the time.
So they were aware in January that COVID or the coronavirus could have been.
Yes, it can percolate into our, and they've taken their measures in the state long before anything.
And that's how the chief minister would then get involved.
Yes, he, of course, every chief minister has to, because budgets have to be given, people have to be assigned, and in a way, disciplinary action taken when you find people are just not, you know, measuring up.
So today you're saying that it is digitally mapped, the whole health, at least that in is, times of crisis like this.
No, no, that is available anyhow. You have the Survey India maps with the census data on it. So you can go down to the last village. Hmm. That mapping is there for everything, be it schools, be it hospitals, be it primary health. This I'm talking about is a community. Bhilwara, urban, Bhilwara, rural. Within that, how many villages? Within that, how many suspect cases in how many villages?
So all this information is then at the fingertips of the Union Health Secretary and the Union Health Minister.
It's at the fingertips first of the state.
Yeah.
And they share what they're asked to share. They don't just share a whole lot of information. But there is a system. They have a war room, I'm told, in the health ministry. Mm. A war room where you can, all this data is available and it is being put on the website. I went to the website. You have all the instructions issued by different authorities from the 31st of January onwards, day by day by day by day.
Right.
All the instructions on everything, including disposal of dead bodies, right? Starting from...
Because that requires a special kind of disposal.
That also requires a special.
So if by from the 31st of January, the states are sending information and the Prime Minister announces the lockdown on the 24th of March.
No, I'm saying that the instruction started on 31st of January.
Yeah, the information.
And the system obviously got into place by mid-February.
Right.
That is what happened.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's really then the call of the central government, in this case the Health Ministry or the Prime Minister's office, when to undertake such a big measure like the lockdown.
You have to take a call looking at what are the risks, what are the pros and cons, and certainly citizens' health has to be put before anything else. And that, I think, has been done. Where, I mean, there's always this kind of a worry is, you may not know till it is too late. That worry is always lurking.
Right.
Because this Nizamuddin thing hit you in the face.
Yeah.
But this may be happening somewhere else also. How do we know? This came out.
So this came out because there were 6 deaths in Telangana,
and then
they tracked them to this congregation in Nizamuddin.
Exactly.
So, ma'am, what happens when there are states which have a different government, a political government, than the one in the centers? Like, for example, today, the BJP runs the center, but Delhi is run by the Aam Aadmi Party. Odisha is run by the Biju Janata Dal. What happens in a crisis like this? Everybody works together?
In a crisis like this, 90% it works together. The central government's health-oriented orders are never questioned. They don't have the means to question it, because the kind of technical ability, the expertise at the central level, the science and technology people, the biotechnology people, the AIIMS, the ICMR, these are giants. There's nothing. The states don't have anything in comparison. They have to listen. Besides, these people are all in touch with WHO Geneva. They're in touch with all CDC Atlanta. It's not as though they sit in a cocoon of their own. So that
and politically
is,
also we've seen that Arvind Kejriwal, the other states, the Congress party have all supportive of the Prime Minister.
Absolutely.
But tell me your experience, say, of the plague in Surat in 1994. How would you compare? It was not a digitally mapped world at the time.
It was, you know, I still remember, it hit in September 1994. And suddenly within, I think, 24 hours, the Union Health Secretary had to go and face the press.
Hmm.
He had to be in the Nirman Bhavan, where everybody came. There were no masks, there was no nothing, because plague was, it was not the kind of plague which is going to come from Surat to Delhi. But the press, the international press was absolutely, I mean, they made it into such a calamity. Our export of garments was stopped, food was stopped, import was stopped, everything was stopped. Travel advisory said, you will not go to India. It was a situation where you... the Union Health Secretary, I still remember him. He was an elderly, I mean, for me, he was elderly at that time. He said it is going to be completely controlled by in 3 weeks. We do not need antibiotics, but we need the strict data every day. And by fax it used to come, old-fashioned fax. And this used to be put together in a manual fashion, cyclostyled. And I remember as Joint Secretary, I was sending these manual reports to the Foreign Secretary, the Cabinet Secretary, the Principal Secretary to Prime Minister, the Foreign Secretary, the Commerce Secretary, everybody. And I do remember getting slapped on the knuckles because one sheet of what went to them was blank. And cyclostyling, it became blank. And I was pulled up by the Foreign Secretary via the Cabinet Secretary that what kind of joint secretaries are working in
but
government.
But in today's coronavirus world, where the entire world has been hit so badly, and we've had, you know, migrants in thousands and thousands leaving Delhi and other states, but mostly Delhi across UP, Bihar, wasn't such a good idea, right?
No, it wasn't. And honestly, I don't think, Jyoti, I have got my finger on what went wrong. But this much is very clear, that I don't know how intelligence could have failed, that hundreds and thousands of people were, you know, going together, knowing that the psyche of people is they'll want to run away if there's a chance to go home. Knowing that if they don't get their daily bread and butter, and they weren't sure they're going to get it, they were not given all these assurances, nor was it conveyed. It would be human reaction to want to slip away, whether by bus or by foot, which is what happened. And how it happened, who did not give the message, who did give wrong messages, if at all, who was not responding to the central government's
diktat,
which was very clear. Even now, the kind of diktat,
which was to stay where you are.
Stay where you are. After this has happened, very, very copious orders have gone about containing these people from going and keeping them under screening, keeping them and, you know, give them shelter, give them food, but they're not going. There were a lot of voices which said, bichare hai, jaane do, ab to aap nahi rok sakte ho, you know, that kind of thing. Fasal ka season hai. But it was an order, and that is where I respect the fact that these things work in times of crisis.
But then there is this crack. There was a crack then between the order and the implementation of the order.
Yes, definitely. Yes. And I can't put my finger on why. I don't know the facts. I've not talked to anybody at all. But it was something which, I don't know, could have been, I mean, somewhere something must have gone awry.
But tell me, in the past, in your own experience, so one was the plague in Surat, the tsunami,
yes,
and all that, like you said, the dengue, the malaria outbreaks. So the center and the states do work very closely.
Very closely. I'll give you one example if you have the time. And I'm talking about malaria in Mewat district of Gurgaon, Mewat block of Gurgaon. Yeah. Very, very poor. And I remember that then it was called the National Malaria Eradication Program under the now NCDC. And the director came to my room and he said, "Madam, this is something terrible has happened." I said, "What?" He said, 18,000 people have died in that area. I said, "What? What are you saying? It can't happen." He said, "It's happened and nobody informed us. Now we have got to know." So I think
it's shocking.
Now look at what happened. We told the...
What year was this?
1996, I think, or 7, 6, huh. I think. The health minister was told, he went straight to the prime minister, Mr. Devagowda, the humble farmer. Three helicopters were arranged. All the ministry's representatives who mattered were put into those helicopters. The prime minister was in the first helicopter. We reached Mewat district. And it was, you could see the sullen faces, you know, looking at you, because people were mad at the government, mad at not just their own government, every government. And the prime minister did something it was quite uncanny. He threw out everybody from the room except the engineers. He says all the, you might say, public health staff and engineers. He listened to them. Then he threw out all the journalists. I mean, at a time he met only journalists, only politicians, only bureaucrats, only engineers. These four at a time. We were the central people, so I was privy to what was going on. He had absorbed in, I think, 1 hour, what is the worst case scenario, what is the best case scenario, what needs to be done. And he got his, he couldn't speak Hindi, so he got his I think, civil aviation minister to go out and announce to the public straight away, we are going to do this, we are going to do this, we are going to do this. It was quelled. Whether it was the best way, I don't know. Hmm. But all I'm saying is, when you ask me about center state, that was Mewat in Gurgaon. It had nothing to do with central government. But
right.
It was done.
And also 100 kilometers. So communication is also the message to communicate with people and tell them what's
but
going on.
But Jyoti, I must say that I think I'm getting so enthusiastic, I may be seen as a person who is just, you know, in a bubble by herself. I want to clarify, things can go radically wrong even now. We don't know whether we have the capacity for hundreds of things which might be needed. So please don't, I mean, I don't want your viewers to get the feeling that I'm just some sort of godmother sitting over
there.
No,
but we don't know. That's
we don't
the truth.
Know.
The truth
know.
Is that we don't know that what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yes.
But I suppose we just do the best that we can today.
Yes.
And
yes.
Thank you so much for explaining, in a sense, how India works. And
yes.
That's why we come back to officers like you in the IAS. And thank you so much,
thank
ma'am.
You. Thank you.
This is Jyoti Malhotra for The Print. Please continue to watch our YouTube channel. It's Live and Buzzing.